Hey everyone, William Nunn here, and for those of you who have been keeping up with Voices That Cook, you probably have been wondering, where the hell is he? Well, I got a couple of bits of updates for you. I'll start with the less exciting ones, and then I'm going to get you up to date on my most exciting updates. So, I got sick, cold, not COVID, but I did not feel well enough to do anything voiceover related, and I also had an episode that was supposed to come out with my friend Lucia, which unfortunately there were some technical hiccups with that recording, so we're going to have to redo that episode. So technically, you were supposed to get episode 8, but instead you're technically getting what is referred to in my schedule as episode 9, which is luckily with the wonderful Megan Humans. So, that's kind of the bummer update. I had been sick, been out of commission, but it feels so good to finally be back in the booth and be able to talk in front of a microphone. So I'm thrilled to have you all on here. Now my other update, and this is the more exciting one. I finally have a website and a character demo. So please, if any of you would like to hear my character demo, check out my website. I have my website linked below and it will go immediately to my showcase where you can hear my demo. You can have links to Voices That Cook and One Shot's D&D Character Podcast via Spotify already accessible there. There's an about me with a little bio and of course my resume and some of my contact information in case maybe you'd like to work with me. I'd love to work with you. It feels good to finally get back to working in the voice acting world again, and I'm just so excited. And I should also mention, even though it might be a bit before I mention it in a much later episode, I did finally get around to making a pizza. It was a great experience. You'll get to hear about it later. But yes, I'm still cooking as well. So please do check out my website, whether it's before you continue listening or after you're through listening. I highly recommend doing so. It would mean the world to me for you to give my demo a listen and hopefully also go and check out Megan Humans, her website, her demo, all the amazing stuff she's done. She is, for all intents and purposes, the one person I would consider to be the heir apparent to the voice that cooks. So, anywho, let us get back, finally, to Voices That Cook. Oh, and I should say that if you want to go to the website, it is at williamnunnvo.com. Had to clear that up. All right then, for real, back to Voices That Cook. Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Voices That Cook. I am your host, William Nunn, and also I am also a voice actor who likes to cook, and I am probably, as you guys probably could guess, a little tired. I have had a busy week, had a lot of stuff, and I'm also enjoined by an also tired guest who is a voice actor who likes to cook, but she is a lot more wonderful than I am, and that is Megan Humans, who I am so thrilled to have on here. And if I were to ever give my Voices That Cook or Voice That Cook's handle to any other individual in the world, it would be you, my friend.
Thank you. And also, what? You are also a great and amazing individual. Don't sell yourself short. You do a lot of really awesome things. I would be honored to have the Voices That Cook handle. I'm also just honored to share cooking back and forth on social media with you. And hello. Yes, I am Megan.
Hello.
I have been on a previous William Nunn-based podcast, and we are back again.
Yes, we are. And before I mention that, thank you so much for the kind words. It makes me wake up just a bit more, and I feel very happy inside. And I will say, the show that we are mentioning right now is One Shot's D&D Character Podcast, which when I was looking through your website earlier, just to get ideas for websites for when I have my eventual website put up. And I also just wanted to see what all stuff you had done in case I see anything and I go, ooh, I'd like to ask her about that. I saw one shots on there and it made me really smile.
I mean, of course I was going to put it up there. Like,
true.
What? You thought I wasn't going to put it on my website? What?
I was hoping so, but it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it will probably be on there. And then seeing it on there is just this one of the most delightful episodes of the entire series that involves my character, Odysseus Claw. Hello there. Hello, Odysseus. Meeting your water demon character. What was her name?
Rashida.
Rashida, thank you.
Yes. And we had some wonderful tacos together.
Yes, we did. We most certainly did. It was a very fun episode.
And I learned what a buffet was. Oh, it was a wonderful episode. Everyone should go and listen to it, yes.
Yes, you most certainly should. In fact, it is in the description box below if you want to listen to that after this episode. Thank you, Odysseus. I really appreciate the plug. Oh, my. And speaking of tacos, there have been so many things that I've seen from Megan, whether it's the roles she's in, the food she shares. I'm always just amazed. I find it very amazing to see all the stuff you've done. And I admire your work ethic. And I also just hope that we get to have a lot of fun today and get to share awesome stuff and whatnot. But before we continue further, I have to start the episode off with this. Before we even get to the voice acting origins, I want to gush about On the Hunter's Watch with you. That is a really, really good audio drama from Cold Open Stories, which literally this week wrapped up its story, basically. There was like three episodes, and the third episode finally dropped. And a few episodes ago, Melissa Medina and I were gushing about you, so
we
now have you on here. Yes, yes. Oh. We gush. So we were very happy to talk about your awesome performance there, and it continued to be awesome in part three. And this is coming from someone who was in Hounds of Bedlam, which is another great project from Cold Open Stories. I think On the Hunter's Watch might be the best one they've done so far.
Yeah, no, actually, I don't think I told you, but when I started working with On the Hunter's Watch and Colin, they mentioned you being in the Hounds of Bedlam, because they were like, oh, do you know this person or this person? Oh, yeah, they're in this other project, and they specifically brought you up. and so, just so you know, it was, oh, man, being on the Hunter's Watch has been really awesome. The work and production and everything plot wise behind it has been fantastic and edge of the seat, and I have been blown away by the people I have gotten this miraculous opportunity to voice alongside, like Melissa
who
has done amazing things forever everywhere, and I'm little introverted me in my corner going hi. So it's it was a fun experience. I still have to finish listening to the last episode because I have been so busy, but it's like, you know, when you listen to yourself and you're like, that doesn't sound like me, and you just get like way into it, and then you're like, oh wait, that is me.
I haven't had that. It's like, I haven't had that experience yet. There may be a project coming out in the near future where I may feel that way. I'm just shrugging my shoulders in a nudge sort of way, which I don't know how else shoulders can do it other than move back and forth. But I
just usually say laughing and NDA.
There you go. Laughing and NDA. So that's kind of where I am with that. But I when I was in Hounds of Bedlam, I just thought, oh, crap, that's me. I'm in there with all these people. This is crazy. And then just jumping ahead to On the Hunter's Watch, to just hear how freaking fantastic the music is and all of the great performances that are involved. And one thing that Melissa and I really touched on was how consistent your accent was for the whole thing. You were playing a particular, someone from a particular group. I believe it was an alien, and you had, could you describe, your character for the audience?
Yeah, so she's part of the Tau, which is, like, an alien faction, essentially. They're non-humans, but humanoid. Her friend name is Ervy. I definitely had to practice this, but her full name is Shrashred Tashvarmkova, which is, like, rank, title, name. unfortunately for Ervy, she goes through a lot of stuff. Yep. And has to make a lot of decisions and then take responsibility for the consequences of her own or other people's actions. Make some new friends along the way, you know?
Yes.
It was the friends we made along the way.
Yes.
The music is suspenseful. The storyline is great. Fun fact, we changed the ending.
Interesting. Now, obviously, can't spoil that for anyone who wants to.
I can't tell you about, but actually the original ending was different than the one that went out. And it was, I guess, knowing the other option for me helped me, I think, like, there was a lot of emotion in the original ending, mm-hmm. right? And I think having that powerful recording being done, like, in the past, and then, like, transitioning into this, like, alternate future sort of, well, you know, it became the real future, but for Ervy and the team, helped me kind of have this really interesting mindset for the character in the end of episode 3. So I feel like it helped me a lot do this recording, but that's a little fun fact. I hope that's okay that I share.
That is fine. That is fine. it is still vague, so that I don't consider spoilery at all, but I really enjoyed your performance, and when I saw that it was the show was going to star you and Melissa, I was very much excited just for that alone. Like, I knew this was going to be something awesome. And hearing her performance in episode 2, where she has that really emotional scene, is definitely one of the top 5 best moments in the whole thing.
No, she did such a great job. That was, like, really hard to listen to, right? Like, it was so good.
It was very powerful. And I'm really, really glad I got to hear the both of you later in the story. That was very, very much me smiling the whole time whenever that would happen. So whenever you can get around to finishing episode 3, that would be delightful. And for all of you who want to hear that episode, obviously I'm going, or really all 3 episodes, I will have a link to Cold Open Stories website, where they have the episode in, like, the main page there, and you can listen to it on Spotify, YouTube. I think it's on Apple as well, I want to say, and there might be another spot for it. I'm not sure off the top of my head. It can also be listened to on the website itself if you wish. But it is a great series, and I definitely recommend following Cold Open Stories as well, because they continue to put out amazing content with Colin and everybody else. And the music, like you've mentioned, I was literally, like, once I started hearing the choir, I was getting Battlestar Galactica vibes. I was getting really excited over that, which I'm not used to hearing music like that in an audio production. So it's really went above and beyond.
It's an experience.
One.
Yeah.
So it makes me want.
And thank you for sharing. Yes, that would be super great if you could put the link there. I appreciate it.
Of course. And I'm also just, it also just makes me want to step up in my audio drama creation game, if you will, because I've got a couple of projects I want to do. But to get back to, I guess, the normal trajectory of the show, I now want to ask you, what got you into voice acting?
A lot of things. I guess the overall answer is sort of, it's kind of a long story,
sure.
But the overall answer is that by some happenstance, I ended up at a My Little Pony convention, of which I made friends with people who wanted to pursue voice acting, who then I hung around with for a while, and they went on road trips with me and heard me doing voices and singing and having a fun time in the car with songs, as you do on road trips, to, hey, have you ever considered voice acting? To, hey, I think you really should audition for this. To those people giving me a chance to do voice acting of characters while I had a really horrible headset microphone, to then continuing to be friends with those people and all of us being professional voice actors now in a very serious manner.
Wow.
That's, and yeah, time is a circle, because a lot of the stuff in my pony fandom side that I still do, because I run a business over there for vendors and artists, because of my connections there, I managed to meet a lot of the show voice actors. So, like, Tara Strong,
nice.
Andrea Libman, you know, Peter New, Ellie Ray, who's now my mentor for voice acting. You know, I got to work with a lot of them. I'm also staff for one of the conventions as well. So I've essentially known a lot of these voice actors for a while. And then I was like, hey, I'm doing some voice acting. And they're like, you are? And I'm like, oh, no. In some weird way, a very obscure choice I made to go to essentially a basement in Manhattan, New York.
Oh, boy.
While I was really depressed, turned into an entire complete life trajectory in which I am here now in voiceover.
Wow. I am very happy for how far you have come and all the stuff you've done. And I have also met Tara Strong as well. That was during a convention I went to with a friend of mine. And we were both mentioning that we really liked Metal Gear. So we kind of talked to her briefly about that. And I had some incorrect trivia about Harley Quinn, and she corrected me on it. And It was a fine time. I'm sure it felt like she was kind of swamped that day, but it was cool meeting her. But that's the only person out of all that I've met that I can mention. Hopefully one day I get to meet you and we can hug and make actual food.
Oh yeah, let's do live cooking. Yes,
that would be fun. Yes. That would be really fun. I got to make birria tacos while I was at Kelsey Mayer's place when I visited Texas. So that was not only fun, but it was great to hear someone else who is a friend of mine in this bubble we're all in that enjoyed my food, her and Jordan. I was very nervous about it, and now I feel like, okay, I feel like I could make something that could make Megan smile.
Well, I need the birria tacos, because every time I open Instagram or Twitter, that's like the only thing you post. And I'm just like, I need tacos. It's like 2 a.m. I need tacos now because I'm looking at this picture. So it's one of the things has to be tacos.
It definitely needs to. And if you were to help me with it, it definitely will make the experience go by a lot faster, which is a major, major plus. Before we get to more of the cooking stuff, I did have two questions I wanted to ask you about, and see if maybe I could get you to demonstrate something.
Oh no!
when I was looking at your website, just to see if there would be anything interesting for me to bring up, you apparently have done something that I have enjoyed doing for many, many years, even before being a voice actor, and that is dinosaur noises.
No. you started saying it and I knew exactly what you were going to say.
Yes. I have to ask, what dinosaur noises do you like to do? Because we all got to start somewhere with creature voices.
Oh no. Okay, so when I was a kid, so we were talking earlier before the podcast started about some like horror movies and stuff. And when I was a child, my dad let me watch movies that were vastly inappropriate for my age, like horror movies and stuff. Now, one of those movies also happened to be Jurassic Park. And I was a little child running around rooting for the dinosaurs as they were eating people.
Yes, as was I.
And Jurassic Park was my favorite movie as a child. It is still my favorite movie. I actually watched it again recently, like last week. It is just, I just love it. And so when I was a kid, loving Jurassic Park, rooting for the dinosaurs, of course, I wanted to be a dinosaur. And I would make this sound that I guess was sort of what in my head was like a velociraptor sound. And I would run around the playground as an elementary school kid and roar at people. Here's my tragic backstory. Here's my tragic anime backstory. This is I haven't done this in like 15 years. I don't even know if I still can do it.
Don't worry. When you show me yours, I will show you mine.
Oh my god. I'm so scared. Hold on. Wait. I'm gonna mute myself first.
Sure.
Hold on. Wait. I need to make sure that I can actually do this. Oh no. I'm like. I'm terrified.
You got this. Hold on, you got wait. This.
Oh my god. Okay. I'm gonna mute. Okay. It can't hear me. Oh no. No, it's funnier. It's probably funnier if I don't mute myself.
I believe in you.
This is actually pain. Like, this hurts my soul. I'm so scared. I don't even know how this is going to... I'm going to turn my gain down. I don't know if I can still do it. God, oh my god. Reaper hated
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I could not hear it. Like, Discord is just, nope.
It just, nope. Discord said no. Yep.
But I'm sure the audience heard it.
Okay, I apologize hardcore in advance, but Reaper is all red right now, and it is very unhappy with
oh
me.
My.
We might just have to cut it out, because I don't think it can actually go in the audio for this podcast.
Gotcha.
TLDR, if nobody could hear that, I essentially would just, like, I guess it's like a throat... So, okay, when I used to do it, I remember it, like, hurting my vocal cords. So, obviously, it is a bad thing to do. But I would do it all the time to the point where it stopped hurting so I could just do it. So, it's, like, way back in the back of the throat, like, in your vocal cords, like, screeching as loud as possible with your mouth open, like... a dinosaur yelling at you.
Wow.
It's very cool looking.
Well, if it makes you feel better, here's my velociraptor for you. Okay, how did it go? It was I didn't peek. Yay.
Yay. No, see, yours sounds like a real creature. Me, I was just screaming.
You were just screaming.
I was like 8 years old. So, like, I had no sense of acting at that age. It was playground rules. It was screaming only.
I'm honestly amazed that you had that story, because I had a very similar childhood with that. I would chase people around as a raptor, because we would play, instead of duck, duck, goose, it would be duck, duck, raptor. So if I ever got tagged, I would turn to a velociraptor and chase people and have my three of my fingers be velociraptor claws and just start snarling and roaring at them as they run and try to flee from me. And if I do a playful scratch on their back, I've got them. That's usually how it would go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would do that too, except I was just the weird kid and we weren't playing any games.
Oh, I should also show you my ill attempt at a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Let's see.
That clipped on Discord. That was good though.
Thank you. I don't think it peaked.
See,
on
I
mine.
Had no technique.
I just used my diaphragm.
I did the thing that you're not supposed to do.
Oh boy. Lesson learned for anyone who wants to get into creatures and such. Now, obviously, I won't make you do anything weird like that again throughout the whole episode, but I appreciate the indulgence, and for anyone who has not seen Jurassic Park, please go watch it.
Yes.
My other question for you is that you also I know that you have been studying Japan, and particularly the language. I was actually curious to know, what are some of your favorite Japanese words?
Favorite words? Oh, that'll be hard. I guess to give some context, my degree is in Asian studies with a focus on Japan and Japanese language. So that is what I majored in. I took Japanese language for 5 years or so besides self-study. I am awfully rusty. I also didn't study enough when I should have, and so I am rectifying that now as a good adult should. it comes in handy when watching anime, because sometimes the subtitles for localization don't tell the full story, so it's kind of cool. I get some cool context sometimes.
Interesting.
Favorite words? That's gonna be really hard.
Unless probably might have been better to ask, what are your favorite swear words?
So Japanese language, like, there are swears, but it's not like what you see in movies or anime.
Oh, really?
Or anything, right? No, that's like really hyped up, like delinquency or like delinquent behavior or just like straight out anime behavior. Like, people, you know, I'm sure, you know, as all jokes go, that, you know, people will call each other bakas, right?
I have heard that.
Like, baka, baka, you know, like maybe kids, mm-hmm. right? But I think that's like really tropey. I think there's a lot of tropes. I don't particularly know a lot of bad words. That's not what I study.
All good.
I'm primarily a culture. I am primarily a culture and, you know, like modern culture and like societal culture sort of study person. My brain. Wow. Here's me. You know.
All good. I actually never knew that about swear words with Japan. So. Thank you for sharing that knowledge with me.
Yeah, it's the societal norms of, like, what's acceptable to say to other people, you know, is I wouldn't say it's, like, strict, but there's a lot of societal norms about, you know, how to behave in front of other people, you know. Like, unless you're, like, friends, you know, there becomes a barrier, mm-hmm. like, when... You know, you're not friends with somebody versus you're friends with somebody versus if you're family or you're like their boss or they're your boss. There's all different sorts of variations on the language that you have to use based on like authority figures or people who are, you know, in higher positions than you or lower positions than you. So it's a lot to unpack and explain. And I'm probably not like the super best person to explain that mm-hmm. Again, because my primary focus is not on linguistics. So please correct me if I'm wrong, everybody.
Fair.
But it's more of like a humble, you know, to your face sort of culture. Unless you're like really, really good friends with somebody. And then I'm sure there are inside jokes for days, as is normal of human beings everywhere.
That is very interesting. My main area of wanting to learn more and knowledge of, in such as, due to my love of samurai films and Ghost of Tsushima, has been feudal Japan. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been really interested in a lot of ways there. And I even have a samurai book over at my little desk that's right outside of my booth. I still need to actually read that. I got that for myself for Christmas. Just because I thought, hey, I don't know if anyone else is going to read this, but this looks really cool and it has a lot of great reviews on Amazon. And I still need to read it, but I've always liked that aspect, and I found it much more appealing over the last few years, especially after really getting into stuff like Yojimbo and Seven Samurai and just wanting to see more of that, especially after learning how much of that part of the culture had an impact on Star Wars. That was definitely me wanting to kind of go, oh, what inspired Star Wars this way? And while also being really excited for specific media and things like Ghost of Tsushima. And it just makes me want to learn more and more about it. So different eras of knowledge there between us, but I'm not an expert by any means either, but it's definitely something I want to dive into more. And speaking of diving in, I think it's time to go ahead and talk about cooking so we can start to get some stomach growling in this episode.
Yeah, we could sit here and talk about tons of stuff all day, but this is supposed to be a cooking podcast.
This is true. This is very true.
I demand food.
We demand food. And this now leads me to probably one of my favorite questions in the show. What got you started in cooking?
So, first of all, I just love food. Even since I was a kid, I've always been an exceptionally adventurous eater. My mom was picky. I wouldn't say super picky, but picky. Mm-hmm. My dad will eat anything and everything and does not complain. So there was a lot of free adventure given to me to just try things and whatever. And my parents would always say that when I was a kid, I would have a very adult palate. So I was eating stuff that normally kids might not have been exposed to. I also preferred vegetables over candy, and I still do. I don't really eat a lot of sugar, mm-hmm. Or sweets at all. I very much prefer vegetables. So my parents loved me growing up, right? because we would go out sometimes, like on a family vacation once a year when my dad was off work, or, you know, we would go pretty close by, but we'd go in a hotel and go to like a museum or an aquarium or whatever. And of course, the best part is that we'd go to like a buffet or something so that I could go and try 100 different things and my mom didn't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. Right. So one of the places that we would go to was a hibachi restaurant that's actually near my house. And I really liked the guys that like would juggle the utensils and the salt and pepper shakers and all this stuff and whatever and the eggs, and I would come home and like do it at home with my like fake kitchen. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's where it came from, right? But I think what really got me into cooking super seriously, because I really like studying culture and language, like I've done a lot of cultural and language studies outside of Japan, and Asia and all that. I really enjoyed learning about like the food, because a lot of the food is culture based or related to something in history or culture. And food really brings people together, right? So it was kind of an exploration of being able to, like, air quotes, be a part of that culture, mm-hmm. in my own home, or like nearby, because I couldn't travel to those countries as a kid or a teenager or whatever, for whatever reason, right? So, you know, I would watch a lot of history and documentaries and nature shows and whatever. And so I ended up watching a whole lot of Anthony Bourdain. And for Parts Unknown, No Reservations, his books, they were all a really big inspiration, especially since he's like a New Yorker, or was a New Yorker, mm-hmm. right? So like, you know, here's me in New York. And I was like, oh, let me read this book literally written by somebody who I understand how he writes, right? Getting all this kind of like Underdark sort of things going on, and also watching him get to travel around in these in this show and talk about history, culture, real important things while sharing this food. And I think something about that, because of like how I studied all of these things, really encapsulated me. And totally, absolutely nothing to do with the fact that my mom would cook like the same thing 5 days in a row every day. So. Yeah.
That is quite the compelling origin story, whereas I was just, I want to make chili. I want to make chili and hope it's good. And that's just kind of where it started. I was afraid of chili. I finally made it. And I was like, this actually ended up being very good. I just kept making stuff after that. Though I technically started with tortellinis and then it went to chili, but I was just like, good Lord, I had such just, I wanted to try food and make it. And you have like this whole really beautiful whole journey that just went from point A to point Z and out to a whole other universe of knowledge and amazement that I'm like, yeah, give her the title, dude.
I'm so sorry. I don't mean to take it from
you.
No,
it's okay.
Again, as I said before, I didn't know I was stepping on anybody's brand.
Nah, you're like... good. You're good. I just love that story. That's just a great story. And it every time I make anything and she compliments it, I feel better about myself. That's
You always make something that looks like really good, and it's always posted at like the worst time of day. Because it's like, I'm like, oh, I should open social. Nope. William just posted some food. I'm not even gonna scroll and look at that. I'm just gonna close the app and go cook something.
Yep. the last big creation I made was chicken parmesan, and I had my mom help me out with that, and that was incredibly Ooh. Delicious. Very, very good.
Sounds good. I love chicken parm.
It's very fun to make.
I tend to make, I've made eggplant parm lasagna is my thing.
I actually have not made eggplant parmesan. In fact, I don't even think I've had an eggplant in my life, and I need to at some point.
What?
I know.
Do it. They're good. You can't avoid them forever.
I cannot avoid them forever. I used to be picky when I was younger. I used to be the very picky guy, and so was my dad. My dad still is, but Ooh. I have really branched out since I was younger to where like I normally would not want onions in anything, and now it's like, yeah, I would like onions because I now know what I like in them and how they add to things, and especially if they're caramelized, like make them have that brownish color, and I'm gonna really like them. It's a whole interesting thing where like the more stuff I try, the more I'm like, wow, this is actually really good. And then there's always some stuff that like for a while I would still play it safe. Like there's still a couple of things I would probably be like, I still haven't warmed up to that yet. But when I went to Texas, I became very much in love with, I figured I would love it, but I did not know how amazing Korean hot wings would be. They were so good. And then I want to say the first time I had ramen long before Texas, I don't know if it was good ramen. I don't know if it was from someone's like little packet thing you would get at Walmart or something, but it was, I don't remember it being anywhere near as around the quality that I ended up having it at Texas. And then when I was dog sitting out of town, there was a ramen place not too far away from where I was staying. And I went there twice while I was there. I am now addicted to ramen, and I wish there was a ramen place close to me. There is not, and I wish there was.
You, as a secret, can make ramen at home. It's just hard, but yes. You can.
I saw a couple of recipes for ramen, and I'm like, okay, it is worth every single penny that it costs to pay for this at a restaurant because it takes so much time and effort, but it's a beautiful thing when it's all done. And I saw one recipe where I was like, I don't know how I could ever do that. And I saw someone comment saying that they did, but they did not expect to have such an abundance of broth at their disposal. Like, there was never any explanation in the video that, like, dude, this could feed like three families, what we just did. So I guess if you want to make ramen, make a shitload of it, so that way you could just let it last for a long time and make that. I saw something saying that it could take you about 12 to 14 hours to get the whole thing done, but it'd be worth it at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a while to make the broth because you have to stew the bones, but it's worth it. I have not made it, but it is something I would like to make at some point. I thankfully live in an area where there is ramen available, so I don't have to try and make it right yet, but I do want to try sometime.
One thing I definitely want to do whenever I visit New York, other than come and say hello and we make food and such, I do want to try New York pizza in New York. That's what I really would like to do.
Yes, you have to do pizza and bagels.
I actually would be open to making bagels. I've mentioned on the show multiple times I want to make my own pizza, but bagels, yes. I enjoy a good bagel. So it would be fun to make that.
So one of the things that's always said is that what makes New York bagels is because of our water.
Mm-hmm.
And like the content of the sediment and whatnot in it and everything. Bagels and pizza, because I have traveled a lot, there has been very few places outside of New York that I will eat a bagel or a pizza and consider it on par. But that's me being biased for my home state.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely come and get pizza. The best pizza you can get in New York is the cheapest. Like, if you go in Manhattan, you can get a dollar slice or a $2 slice, and every single pizza place was like originated in 1940 with the exact same decor and is called Antonio's. So just like pick one, they're all really good. So definitely. I hope you get to do that. It's it's a lot of fun. Don't be afraid of the carts here. The carts are good. The carts are your friends.
The carts?
Yeah, like the food carts.
Oh, I was about to say. Like, I thought we were doing Mario Kart or something. No. But that is definitely something I've thought about for a long time with New York, is definitely go and have the pizza, sightsee, see what all it looks like out there and all that. And I definitely also want to just imagine what it would be like to be Spider-Man out there. That's another thing that just goes through my brain because I'm a nerd. Like, the only reason why I would ever go to Queens off the top of my head would be, oh, that's where Peter Parker's from. I want to see what it looks like up close. Just to see it, just to say that I went over there and saw it. And then, of course, other locations, like obviously the Empire State Building, and just go take a look at the Statue of Liberty, just see how that all looks and such. But I've also just found places like that to be interesting, especially since I haven't been around them as much as small towns, because I currently live in a small town. And I've been around the smaller cities. Memphis is not too far away from me, about an hour, so it does have some tall buildings and a pyramid. But I feel like New York would be a lot more fun to visit. And yes, the pyramid used to be a place where the Memphis Grizzlies would play basketball. And now it's a giant Bass Pro Shop.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
This is the first step to Blade Runner, ladies and gentlemen.
I've had the privilege of traveling a lot in the United States and outside of the US. And I guess what really gets me every time I travel is somebody is always like, oh yeah, you're coming to the big city. I'm like, oh, okay. and I just vastly I laugh because what really springs to mind is I went to Houston and they were like, yeah, Houston's a really big city. And I was driving like along because I drive everywhere. So I was driving down like into the city and it's like all flat except for a single insanely tall skyscraper. It's just like, oh, huh. Like there's New York really is this like wild, vast, different jungle. Though I would really love to see LA. I've heard a lot of things about LA and it seems like it would be the most similar to New York, but I've been in California. I've been to San Francisco, but I've never been in like LA.
Same.
But if you do come to New York though, besides pizza and sightseeing, you'll be here forever if you try and see everything.
True.
But if there's ever been any food you have ever wanted to try ever, it's here.
Is there anything in your kitchen that you can make that is a pretty good representation of what New York has to offer?
I guess I would say yes, because I have this like weird amalgamation of all different types of like cuisine in my house, right? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of reminiscent of New York, because we're just this huge melting pot city of just wild proportions. If I had to describe like New York in food, I mean like bagels and pizza, like a bacon, egg and cheese, which is all a single word, by the way. Uh-huh. You go up and you go, I would like a bacon, egg and cheese. And it comes with salt, pepper and ketchup, and a coffee. And that is and maybe a slice of pizza for lunch. And that's your quintessential, you know, maybe a sandwich or a chopped cheese or a, you know, something off a cart, a hot dog or whatever. But I mean, at the same time, you know, you could get a slice of pizza across the street from, you know, Malaysian cuisine or from, you know, a French haute couture restaurant or, you know, like you could walk down the same block and there's like 30 different types of cuisine on it, you know, all mashed together. Or you can find the little, you know, circles of here's K-Town, here's all the Korean food, here's Chinatown, here's all the Chinese food, you know, here, like there's all Little Italy, you know, it's like you can just go to all different places, but you can also just walk down certain streets and there's just tons of stuff. So it's really a great place, I think, to be able to try a lot of other cultures' cuisines that maybe, because I don't know for sure because I haven't been in too many giant, you know, other places. I've been, like, on the outskirts of cities. I haven't been, like, directly in a lot of cities. You know, it's just, I feel like there's a big opportunity for people who come here to really, really delve into some, like, odd cuisines that they may not be able to find elsewhere. That's me personally, you know. And again, I'm biased because I'm from here, right? So,
understandable. The only thing I can say that I'm pretty biased about, I haven't been anywhere that has better barbecue than Memphis. I really haven't. And hopefully one day I will, because that would just be nice. But if I ever, whenever I, more like whenever I get my own smoker, I want to learn how they do it. And I've seen recipes for it, but I would like to learn how people at like the Rendezvous and maybe even, well, I doubt Texas State Brazil would tell me anything. But if I were to ever go to the Rendezvous and go, hey, how do y'all do this? But there's also other spots there that I need to explore that would be worth checking out before my eventual move, as I do plan on not being here later next year. But I am hoping, I am really hoping that if you ever decide to randomly come visit West Tennessee, definitely try the barbecue. That is definitely what we take pride on over here. And as far as anything I personally take pride for, it would probably be sausage burgers, because I don't see anyone else doing them. Hmm. And they are wonderful. And I've touched on sausage burgers before, but in case you haven't heard that episode, it's pretty much taking Italian sausage and turning about a pound's worth into either two half pound patties or maybe four quarter pound patties, just whatever floats your boat. I usually like to do half pounders because there's just a lot more flavor with every bite and it's so much more and it's just so freaking good. And then just, you know, heat the skillet with some oil and add in salt, pepper, and Italian seasoning to both sides and make sure it's all up in there. And sear it to your heart's content. I usually like to make sure it's not too burnt or anything. I just want to make sure it just looks nice on the both sides. And with two patties like that, since they're pretty big, I would usually have them in the oven for about 10 to 12 minutes at 350 degrees. And then while the skillet is still warm, toast the buns, the hamburger buns. And since the seasonings will kind of still be in there with the oil, that'll kind of season the buns, which gives them a nice flavor there too. And then my mom got a spicy chipotle mustard, which is the mustard I like to use for my sausage burgers. Ooh. Whenever I have them. It's really good. And I just put that on both buns. And then when the burger's out, I put pepper jack cheese on top of it, smush it some, and then just let it sit for 5 minutes. And so that way, when you take your first bite, it doesn't splurge everywhere. And then you are ready to go and hopefully not cry as you eat it.
No, that sounds really good. I've actually been in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking up where it was. It actually was in Nashville.
Ooh, was it?
So I was in Nashville in 2013 for an event. I was there for like a couple of days. There was like a mall that we went to that was nearby. I don't know exactly where it was, and mm-hmm. this was so long ago. But I was in Nashville. I did have barbecue. I have also had barbecue in Texas. I will definitely give it up to the southern states for barbecue versus the north, mm-hmm. like hands down. Barbecue was really awesome down there.
I think it was called Papa Turney's. That was for a while my favorite barbecue spot in Nashville. And then when my friends moved, I hadn't gone back there, and I don't know if they're still there. But there was another spot that's over in a town called Murfreesboro, which is where I was dog sitting. I like to go into this spot called Rick's Barbecue, and they have really good pork and really good seasoned fries. I really, really want to make my own fries at some point, though I've always found it really funny that there's a lot of recipes I have seen where they want you to freeze the fries, which I totally understand, but it's like, if you want me to freeze the fries, why don't just get fries there in the frozen food section and then fry them that way? I know it's a fun process, and you can do your whole make it your own and have them be in a certain way and all that sort of stuff, but I just find that kind of hilarious. Like there's the step to freeze them, and then all of a sudden you fry them again. It's like, well, why don't I just get them already frozen and then fry them and just be done with it? I just think that's funny. And it's also one of the reasons why you never see me with burgers that I have made with fries as a side, unless the fries have already been like frozen prior and I just heat them in the oven. Though that is a fun way to make cheese fries, I will say, especially if you want to make them real quick.
Nice.
But that is me with fries. And I have worked somewhere where we did do a lot of frying on curly fries and regular fries, and it allowed me to really open my eyes as to how long you really need to cook a fry, because if you could tell there's a little bit of whiteness there and they're floppy, they're not cooked enough, but because they want to get them out real quick, they won't care most of the time. And I'm like, come on, that needs a few more minutes. Nope. And please season your fries after you're done heating them in the oil, because then the stuff will stick and they will be yummier that way. At least in my experience.
I definitely want seasoned, crispy, you know, fries. I'm partial to, like, you know, cheese and dipping sauce.
Mm.
There's so many good things. The humble fry is such a versatile food.
It really is.
You can use, like, I love fries. I'm hungry. I was talking before that we were both hungry, and now I'm just like, maybe I'll make some fries.
Ooh, if you do, please, please send me a picture. I'd love to see them. I want those fries. I want the fries.
I don't know what I'm going to make tonight, actually. Maybe I'll get something, but now I'm partial to fries.
All good, all good. whatever you make, I'm sure it's going to look amazing, which This brings me to my final question for you. What is your all-time favorite recipe?
Any recipe ever?
Yep.
I think I have to give it to, like, two. But it's...
Cool.
Like, they're both soup.
Oh, I love soup.
So, I have never made either of these. I'll preface it that way.
Mm.
But my mom would make these for me all the time when I was growing up. And despite my chagrin for her making salmon 5 times a week, every week, constantly, because she loved salmon. These two soups were kind of the thing that I could eat 5 bowls a day of forever and not get tired of them. Those are, she would make me cauliflower soup with cheddar cheese and cabbage soup, which is made with a tomato base and you put sour cream in it. And I have very, very fond memories of both of these growing up. They are probably still both of my favorite, like, things, besides, like, you know, my personal preference fun things, but, like, my comfort favorite things. I grew cabbage in my garden this year so I could attempt to make cabbage soup. I have since harvested it, and it's been in my freezer, so I'm hoping that it will come out good. I am going to have to learn how to make these, because unfortunately my mom passed away earlier this year, so it is now up to me to figure out how she made them. And while I do have some recipes, my mom was great about writing down a lot of things, but not all of the things that mattered, so I am going to... I have, like, the vague outline of recipes, but you know when somebody's cooking and they always have, like, their own, you know, oh, it says X amount of salt. Well, I'll just do it. I've always done it like this. And you just don't know because they knew. So I'm going to have to play some guessing games, but I hope I can do those well, because those two things are definitely, like, I would say my favorite. Like, if I had to give a favorite, it would be those two soups.
That is very touching, and I know I've done it before, but my condolences. It's not easy to go through that, but I also, I wanted to mention, with you mentioning that story, my mom ended up finding my grandmother's whole, like, I don't know if I'd call it a cookbook, it's more like a cook journal. Of all these recipes that she would use and make that my mom would grow up eating. And there was a party that my mom threw not too long ago that I kind of helped. Well, I didn't really cater. I just kind of helped make sure that everyone else that was handling the food, like if they needed an extra hand or anything, that was a nice service to do. But they had, oh gosh, what was it? I can probably look up what it is just to give you kind of an idea of what we ate that night. Let me find it here. Okay. There was a shrimp and rice casserole that Ooh. Was really good and had like a crab boil and cream of mushroom soup in it, white wine, fresh mushrooms, some sliced almonds.
Oh no, this sounds, I'm so hungry.
I know, we're all suffering here.
No, that sounds great.
It really is good. And then there was, what was the other thing? Okay, and then the other one, which I could not stop eating them. It was stuffed mushrooms with, like you would cook it with sliced bacon and onion and breadcrumbs and paprika and cream cheese.
I make stuffed mushrooms all the time.
I need to make stuffed mushrooms. And it seems, they both seem like very simple recipes to do. It just might take a bit, but
stuffed mushrooms are so easy. It's like the easiest thing. It's dirt easy. You literally just stuff a mushroom, coat them in some oil with a little bit on the pan so they can soak it up, because they will soak it up as they cook, and you stick it in the oven and forget about it for like 30 minutes.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
And then you cover it in cheese.
That sounds amazing. And I want to replicate that as well. So that is going to be another adventure that I am going to let all of you know. Yes, at some point, I want to make those stuffed mushrooms and tell you all about it. And I also want to tell all of you, thank you so much for listening to Voices That Cook today. I know we were a little chaotic today, but it was all in good fun with dinosaurs and
we both need sleep.
I think we need sleep.
This was the wrong time to record this podcast.
Maybe it was the right time.
Yeah, because when you're tired enough, you don't have time to. You don't have enough brain cells to think about what you say, right? It just comes out.
This is true. And I feel like we're both decent human beings for not saying anything terrible while we were on here. So.
Now you've jinxed it.
Oh shit!
And canceled.
So canceled. Fuck! No.
Okay, now we really have to end it.
Yes, yes. Oh man, but seriously though,
this is a lot of fun. I I have had I do have to say that despite, you know, me being terrified of talking to people, it has been such a pleasure getting to know you more and talk to you and connect over cooking and do these ridiculous podcasts and have such a good time. It has been awesome getting to do that, and I very much am thankful that you asked me.
Of course.
So yes, thank you.
you're welcome, my friend.
And I hope you don't get canceled.
Oh no, I hope not either.
We're here, right? It's
we're
good.
We're here Nobody so far. It. We're here so far. So yeah, for any of you out there, they're like, no, we're not canceling you, man. Please feel free to follow Voices That Cook. And if you are listening on a podcast app that lets you review, please do leave us a review, especially a good one, because we're both tired and we would like one. But also, of course, I do have to ask this question.
No, because you deserve it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Now upvote, thumbs up, slam that like button, smash that thumbs up.
Retweet that podcast link. Oh, you can't retweet that? You have to go on the bird thing? Okay.
Like and subscribe.
But where can the listeners of One Shots, not One Shots, damn it, that's a whole different show. Where can the listeners of Voices That Cook follow you?
Oh, me? On Twitter? whatever my handle is. You can follow me on Twitter.
I think it's at Twitter.
You can. It's
however grammar works. We're voice Twitter. Actors. We don't understand grammar.
I'm like halfway through this coffee that I almost spilled earlier. So I clearly did not make it strong enough. You can follow me on Twitter at MeganHumansVA. I am on Instagram at MeganRHumans, I believe. My website is definitely MeganRHumans.com. And I am available anywhere that carrier pigeons can reach.
There you go. And that's actually a fun...
Or where there's good food.
What about ravens? Can ravens be sent to you?
Yes, if they're, if they have formal training with the U.S. Postal Service, yes.
Oh, well, I need to make...
Well, you know, a European post, too, sure. I'm not, I'm multi-continental.
Okay, well, make sure that the Raven gets sent out to you over in New York, and make sure they know, Mr. Raven, do you know anything about, the U.S. Postal Service?
No, but I would really like to learn at some point.
Well, it's very delightful, Mr. Raven. You sound like a very delightful creature.
I'm only 12.
Oh, is that old for a raven?
I have no idea. Shut the fuck up and let me fly.
Okay, I will shut the fuck up and
this
let you
fly. This is the wrong podcast. We have left the Voices
we
That Cook.
We have left Voices That Cook. So why don't I go ahead and plug...
Welcome to the One Shots podcast, everyone.
Yes, of course. You can
listen to season one, which is probably wrapped up by the time this episode has come out. Which, yes, that is, that's a weird thing to think about, because we're going to be recording the season finale very soon. And I'm already like, this is weird that season one's about to wrap up. We're literally about to, I'm literally about going to, at some point soon, start editing the first episode of the Avernus saga within the next few days. And I am super excited about it, because it's like, Odysseus is finally there. He's finally in Avernus. And for any of you who want to know what the fuck I'm talking about, that is definitely worth listening to, and it's a lot of fun, and I definitely will especially have a link for the episode that Megan was on. And if you want to follow me on social media while I still have some brain power left, please feel free to follow me on Instagram at TheVoiceThatCooks and on Twitter at VoiceThatCooks. And no, I don't have an outro yet. I'm too tired to think of one. This is the wrong time to think of an outro. I'm just going to go ahead and say one more time, Megan, thank you so, so much for being on here. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And I love the food you post, the content you've been a part of. Shout out to that Curse of Strahd. Is it Strahd?
Strahd.
Yes, the Curse of Strahd audio drama you were in. That was really cool.
Oh, you heard that too?
Yes, I really enjoyed that one. And do check out On the Hunter's Watch. I've got that in the description below as well. And if you enjoy the food that we talked about and you decide, hey, I want to try that myself, do let us know how it turned out and share with us pictures. So that way we can see the deliciousness that you have created. And Oh, go ahead.
We both post a lot on like Twitter and Instagram pictures of food. So if you're ever feeling particularly hungry, you could go. I think Instagram would probably be better for that, because you can like look at all the photos like in a grid, right? But if anybody ever wants recipes for, I mean, at least the stuff I make, I'm sure you'd be willing to share too. Please let us know. We don't bite. We are more than happy to talk about food with other food friends. Please join our food circle.
Join our food circle. Come join the food circle. Sit down and enjoy your meal and listening time. And that is not a good outro. We're going to figure this out. I know, Odysseus. Just we'll figure this out. I kind of had one down in Melissa's episode, and I completely forgot what it was.
Well, we could do the Gordon Ramsay thing. We're like, that was some good food.
That was some good food. Most certainly was. And then when it's not, fucking wanker!
It's raw!
It's raw! No, or better yet, when he's on Hot Ones with Sean Evans, just, fucking hell! Shit! Fucking hell! Shit! When it's just too spicy for
you. You really wanted to get this out, these curses out, this whole time. We've been holding it in.
We've been holding it back. They're all coming full circle now. Like I
have to restrain my New York all the time.
Restrain your New York.
I have to, because New Yorkers curse all the time. Or at least the people I know do.
That's delightful.
So I have learned not to do it, because that's not, you know, polite. Even though it's verbs for us. It's verbs and adjectives. It doesn't mean anything. It's just another word.
I'm just now picturing Palpatine just in a pizza shop in front of you, just going, go ahead and swear. Use your anger. Say those words that you're closer to being my servant.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it. But for real, everyone, I think we're about to collectively collapse. Y'all have a wonderful day, and thank you for listening to Voices That Cook.